The rain has gone, the weather has cooled, we're in the midpoint of November, and it's Friday. So it could be a lot worse, right? Let's go through what the weather's going to be like for the next couple of days. Highs today, first all of 72, first of all 77 tomorrow, Sunday 79, warms to the 80s on Monday. But then by next Wednesday, it cools off, and Friday, get ready for this, next Thursday night, Friday, a week from right now, you're going to be talking about lows in the mid-40s and high temperatures only in the 60s, which probably, to our next guest, seems like a typical summer day. But for us here, we're getting excited. Don Leonard is our guest, assistant professor of practice in city and regional planning at The Ohio State University. How you doing, Don?
I'm doing good, Tommy. How are you doing?
I'm all right. What's it like in Ohio, in Columbus today? All right, in Columbus, I guess, huh?
I'm in Columbus. Yeah, it's cloudy and chilly. Those numbers already sound pretty good to me.
And are the Buckeyes headed for the national championship? What do you think?
Oh, we're number two. Absolutely.
All right, there we go. Let's talk about, speaking of number two, some of the voters in the election think the economy is like number two. I don't know. You know, I've spoken to a lot of economists throughout the election period. I'm trying to get a handle on if the economy is good, if the economy is bad. It seems as though we have a financial guy on that whenever the numbers come in good, that means bad. But when they come in bad, that means good. Help me understand where the economy is, Don, because I'm confused.
Well, I think you're not the only one, Tommy. There's a lot of data out there to suggest that wages are up, that prices, while they're not down, are slowing down in terms of how fast they creep up on us. Of course, we're talking about inflation there and the consumer price index. Yeah, if you look at the dashboard, you know, I think we see this kind of Wall Street picture that everything looks fine. The problem is when we go to look at Main Street or the kitchen table economics of everyday Americans, we're seeing a really different picture.
What is that picture that we're seeing?
Well, the picture is that folks are spending, you know, 30, 40, 50% of their household income on rent. You know, they're spending, if you've got a kid in daycare, you're spending 25% trying to get coverage for that. You're spending, another 20-so% on your health insurance. When you add all this up, it adds up to a lot more than 100% at the end of every month. And folks are struggling out there.
So when it comes to reasonable expectations after the election, because if people did vote because of the economy and they're angry about it, they want things to change, right? I don't think people just want it to stop in terms of inflation. They want prices to come down. They want things to change or their salary to go up. Unfortunately, economically, if that happens, I think that's just going to fuel further inflation. Could be wrong. I don't know. What are realistic expectations for people that, as you said, they add everything up, it comes out to more than 100%, which puts them in a deficit spending position. And unlike the country, they can't print their own money. Well, they can, but they go to prison.
That's right. Gosh, realistic expectations. I mean, based on the cabinet appointments we're seeing coming out of Washington, D.C. right now, I don't know if anybody can forecast the future. We know that President-elect Donald Trump has promised to dramatically raise tariffs on all our trading partners, and China most of all. The Democrats tried to frame that in terms of a sales tax on the country. I think that there's truth to that. And I think that, when you go into Walmart and checking tags on where stuff is made, you're going to see a lot of made in China. Well, if you start, you know, raising those tariffs 20%, 30% in some cases, you're going to see higher prices. The administration is betting on, or at least this is what they campaigned on, that in the long term, that's going to bring U.S. manufacturing back home and folks are going to have better paying jobs.
But is that likely to happen?
Here's what I don't understand about the policy. If I was a company that was manufacturing in China, and all of a sudden my ability to bring my stuff back into the U.S. Gets a lot more expensive because of these tariffs, obviously an option is to come back home and onshore back in the United States. But there's a lot of other countries out there besides China that have manufacturing capacity and low-cost workers. Why wouldn't they just move to Vietnam?
Well, a lot of that has already happened, has it not, Don, along the Pacific Rim? I remember having this conversation 8 years ago with somebody where because of changes in China, tariffs, what have you, or the price of labor going up and an improving standard of living in China, that it's moved along the Pacific Rim. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. You know, so I think the administration that's coming in is playing checkers with the global economy, and the global economy is more like three-dimensional chess. You know, it's got a lot more axes of movement there, and I think it's naive to think that by just pulling this one lever, we can go back to the 1950s and 60s when, you know, a person with a high school degree could make a living wage for their family.
I think everybody wants things to go back. Well, not everybody, because, you know, there were societal changes in the 50s and 60s, but everybody has
you
this
bet.
Glorified memory of, you know, the golden times that they see in movies where Main Street USA and the Walgreens was on the corner drugstore, the doors were wide open, and you could walk down the street. And I think they have a vision of that happening again, and that's not going to happen. I want to play this for you real quick, and you can comment on it when we come back. This is from 1980, talking about everything old is new again. 624, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Don Leonard, assistant professor of practice and city and regional planning at The Ohio State University. A text comes in. Can't help but wonder if Kamala would have won with the radio conversation this morning, still be scrutinizing new policies or praising them. Oh, man, you caught me. You got me. You got me dead to right. Yes, the conversation would be the same conversation we've been having for the last 6 months. And I don't know if you just tuned in the radio or not. Go back to your echo chamber. Have a blast. I'm not in the mood today. Don Leonard, let's talk about tariffs. The inside joke of that from Ferris Bueller's Day Off is that was Ben Stein, who was a Nixon speechwriter and an economist that delivered that line as the teacher. Talk about tariffs, if you would.
Yeah, so tariffs is this idea that you can incur pain on your trading partners in the short term by making it harder for them to sell money, sell products in your market, and make your consumers happy. But in the medium term, what a lot of folks don't realize is that our trading partners can raise tariffs as well. You know, a lot of the manufacturing that happens in places like North Carolina for things like furniture, they lost all their like high volume, you know, Walmart type furniture. They're doing high end furniture now, and their number one consumer base is the, you know, 1.2 billion Chinese consumers. So you start, you know, a tariff war with China, and all of a sudden your tariffs are going to start going up as well because they're going to retaliate.
Wait, so the North Carolina furniture manufacturers make high end furniture, but not for people here, for people in China that can afford it?
Well, they make it for people everywhere, but, you know, as somebody once said, if you figure that maybe 25% of a society is profoundly gifted, China has more gifted people than we have people. It's a very large market. So when we start cutting off Chinese imports into the U.S., guess what they're going to do?
Yeah. Talk about the vibe session, if you will, please.
Yeah, so I think maybe a little bit to your skeptical listener's text. You know, I think the Kamala Harris administration was taking a little bit of the same medicine that that our consumer price index data would suggest, which is that everything looks good. We have some improvements to make in terms of, you know, prices at the grocery store and housing, and she had policies for that. But fundamentally, the establishment Democrats believe that the economy is on the right track, that it's never been stronger, and they think this is just a vibe session. They just think that voters were somehow hypnotized into thinking that everything sucks now and it used to be better 4 years earlier.
I think everybody always feels that, don't they?
Well, what's fascinating when you look at the data on like consumer sentiment, Tommy, is that it's incredible. If you're a Democrat, you feel better about the economy when Democrats are in office and vice versa. But what we can see is this overall trend that's going down. You know, when you look across all Americans in 2019, right before the pandemic clamped down on us, 50% of Americans described their household financial situation as good or excellent. By the election year here, 2024, that had fallen to 41%. So a lot fewer Americans think that their household finances are in good shape now than they did 4 years ago. That's not a vibe session.
Let me ask you this. It seems as though the cart has now been placed before the horse, in that instead of the economics of the country driving politics, the politics are driving the economics. And what I mean by that is, if 4 years from now prices go up, people that voted for this administration, and I hope to God the prices come down, but if they go up, they're going to explain it away for one reason or the other and blame it on somebody else. Conversely, even if the prices do come down, the Democrats are going to explain it away on something else and not give the Republicans credit. Accurate or not?
No, I think that's true. You know, the spin rooms are alive and well on both sides of the aisle. I think the scary thing for me is that who do they blame? You know, we already are being told that that, you know, on the left, it's Bernie and his war against the billionaires. On the right, it's Donald Trump and the war against immigrants and the Chinese as being the ones to blame for our lot in life. But, you know, the simple fact is, when economic times get hard, people look for scapegoats, and that starts getting into some scary territory. You ran that clip about U.S. Economics going into the 1930s. There was a lot of global economics going on at that point as well. And when prices start going up, you start seeing really scary stuff in the political side.
And people lose sight of the fact that instead of getting caught up in all of that, the main concern is just putting groceries on the table. That's all we're looking for, right? To feed our families, go on a vacation every now and then?
Absolutely. Americans work so damn hard, and they're just trying to get a living wage for themselves and, you know, a fair shake for their kids.
That's all we're looking for. Thank you, Don. Appreciate your time. Dr. Don Leonard, Assistant Professor of Practice in City and Regional Planning at The Ohio State University. Go Buckeyes. I'll say that because LSU beat Ohio State for national championship not too long ago, didn't we? Yeah. 6:30, we'll talk to Jeff Palermo about LSU when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News.